All right, guys, we are live. Not really, but welcome, TNT Podcast, DJ Turn Up, DJ Tanaka.
Back in this thing, man.
Very much so. Tanaka, how you feeling, man?
Doing good, man. Just been a lot of traveling, you know what I'm saying? Busy out soon.
Yeah.
It's really crazy. Like, that's what I look like the past few weeks, man. It's just been...
Yeah.
I've been all over the place, man.
Man, have you ever? Yeah. Just got back from New York. We'll get into that story next episode. But bro, it's been a lot. Had that school dance, trap fever.
Yep.
Whew. Like, I don't know. Yeah, it's been a lot.
It just keeps on going, don't turn up. I mean, it just and because this joint is no joke.
Very much so.
But we appreciate y'all staying tuned in, man. Rocking with us, man. Coming out to the sessions, man. For real, like.
Right. Shout out to y'all.
Always appreciate it.
And speaking of, we're going to get shout out. We got to give a big shout out to DJ Drip. Everybody loved the last episode.
Man, what?
Roaring reviews.
I'm trying to say, turn up. My phone, I was like, dang, okay.
That's what pisses me off about Drip.
What's up?
Is that his energy doesn't match. he pop all that shit when somebody's not like giving him the credit he deserves. But when he gives him the credit he deserves, oh nah, bro. I'm just chilling, bro.
And man went crazy at Cascade, man. Shout out to his debut, man.
Right, shout out to his Cascade debut. I didn't get to see it. I was at Sparkle G Co. But to the Ask TNT segment. Shout out to everybody that submitted a question. It's gonna be a quick one. We only got like four questions.
So right.
we're gonna move real quick. I have no questions. Tanaka, you have one.
Right.
And we both have three.
Sounds good. Let's get to it.
So Tanaka, your question. Shout out to Queen. She wanted to know, what did you want to be as a kid?
I think I wanted to be a basketball player. A little generic, but yeah, basketball was my favorite sport. You know, just dribbling the ball up and down the court.
Word. I feel like I've heard this story before, but for the audience that doesn't know, what made you stop?
At the time, I was taking all them, like, you know, the AP courses and all that. And then, I don't know, I was doing three sports because I do cross country, basketball, and then track. And the year before when I was playing basketball, I had had an injury. I injured my subtalar joint, which is basically the joint in your foot that allows lateral side to side.
No idea.
Okay. All right. Yeah, I think. Anyway, if I got that wrong, I apologize. But affects lateral movement, and obviously in basketball, when you're playing defense, you know, you're sliding side to side. So I didn't even know I was injured until we was at practice. I literally just kept falling down, bro. Like, my joint wasn't supporting my foot at all. So, So, I was going to play basketball again. My mom had to talk with me. She said, I think you should focus more on your schoolwork. And it was tough to let go because, of course, that was my heart. You know what I'm saying? Which is ironic, too, because, like, that was around the same time that the Sonics left Seattle. and we didn't have a basketball team.
That's just double trouble.
Yeah. So.
Ooh. Boy. Boy, boy, boy. Yeah. Well, moving on. Let's see what we got. So, yeah. So, we're going to move on to our questions. Wes, shout out Wes. He wanted to know. Well, he wanted us to know.
From us.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, type shit. My bad. No, you're good. If you could. And it's funny. I think you were just telling me about this. Well, not this question, but we were having a conversation about this. But it's crazy how it ties in. Wes wanted to know, if you could make a documentary about anything, what would it be?
Oh, bruh. Probably the skate world, more specifically the ATL ride.
So, I feel like I already know
ATL that. Style, I guess. ATL style.
I feel like I already know the answer to this.
Blame both for us. Anyway, go
But ahead. who would be your first interview? who would you pick up first as your first interview?
Well, I got one for each.
One for each style?
So for the girls, I want to interview Keezy.
Of course. OG, triple OG.
For the guys.
Shout out Keezy.
I want to interview KK.
Man, I would be very interested to hear what KK has to say about anything. I feel like it'd be a lot of one-worded stuff. Like, how'd you learn to skate? Shit, you know, goddamn.
I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I feel like, I don't know. I feel like that would be dope. You know what I'm saying? Just in terms of, I don't know. People always want to see kind of inside of what the world is like. You know what mm-hmm. I'm saying? So it's like, you know, people that's not in the skate world, you know, they on Instagram and they just scroll and they come across like, oh, wow, what is this, you know, style that they're doing, you know, a mm-hmm. type of skating, you know, and all that. So I think just to, and then on top of the fact that it doesn't get recognized in the skate world, I think that's what's most frustrating. You know what I mean? So,
right.
I feel like the documentary give more insight on a style that's kind of almost like
looked down upon.
Yeah, looked down upon and kind of underground. Like, and it shouldn't be underground because it's like
this is Atlanta.
You feel me?
Right.
So it's like, you know.
Yeah, that's I'm trying to think if I were to make a documentary about anything. That's crazy. I actually didn't think about this. Give me a second. I don't know. I'm trying to think. Because I don't want to just take your joint.
Oh, you said the delinquents? Yeah, I feel. No.
Boy, that would be. Bro, talk about pulling hair and teeth. Jesus Christ. Documentary. I'm not going to lie, bro. This is going to sound sick. But I think there was a TV show back in the day that was like a show, like two different sides of perspective of a situation where it was, I don't know. I don't want to get too far out. But if... I would want to get a documentary of like of the people who's killed like celebrities.
Mm.
And there was a TV show that used to do that where they would have the murderer and the victim's family, or like it'd be like one person from like the family, and like they would like be in like the same room.
Oh, they would have a conversation.
Yeah.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah. I would want to do something like that. Like, I feel like that would be like, I don't know. I probably wouldn't do same room because that's a lot of tension.
Yeah, that might need to be like a little barrier, you know what I'm saying? Because like, that could get a little ugly.
Yeah,
bro,
that
could
get
gangsta
real quick. Yeah. Yeah, but that'd be something I would want. Or hell, even if we don't do the victim, I mean, even if we don't do the victim, just do the murderer.
Mm.
Just to see, like, what his perspective was. Like, right. Why?
Right.
Or, I don't know.
I feel you. I mean, I think it's always interesting, like, just going into the psyche of why people do what they do. You know what I'm saying? Because, like, I don't really believe that folk just seek out that, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Well, like, I will say that I feel like there's stuff that I feel led up to that, you know what I'm saying? That led up to create this person that the way they are, mm-hmm. you know what I'm saying? So I always, that's why, like, I was always interested in, like, you know, why it happened and, like, what made this person, like, get to that point, you know? Because, like, I think something about, like, Hitler and stuff like that, you know what I'm saying? Like, he had a big passion for art, like, wanted to get into art school and stuff, but he got denied. And then, like, you know, that, of course, that's not as, you know, scapegoat for, like, what he did.
That's not a real
good, yeah.
valid reason to kill all the Jews.
Exactly. Right. You know what I'm saying? But it's just, like, interesting to see the types of events that led up to, you know, create who he became. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So,
right.
Yeah, it's just always interesting to see how that play out, though, you know.
Type shit. Yeah, that's interesting. All right, so our second question from friend of the show, Africa with the AK. Shout out, Africa. Specifically as a skate DJ, should you cater to the crowd or should the crowd select sessions to attend based on how much they like the DJ, or should there be like a mix of balance?
That's a real interesting question.
That's, like, the first part of the question, but yeah, we can answer
it. Oh, that's the first part. Oh, yeah. There's more to it.
Mm-hmm. It's a 2-part question, but we can answer that first.
No, I think it's interesting because, like, I don't know, Tom, I'd be feeling like it depends on how much, like, the rank F was you, you know, as a DJ, you know what I'm saying? Because, like, I feel like if we had that support for real, like, they behind us, then it's like we more inclined to, like, you know, stick to our guns type joint, you know what I'm saying? But if it's, like, folk that we don't really know like that or just don't get, like, as much support, yeah, right. Then it's like we got to kind of read the crowd and just, like, you know, because that's the thing is, like, of course you want to stick to your guns, because if you want to build that night to be that way, you got to, like, stay to it. You know what I'm saying? Like, you can't just be folding every time. You know what I'm saying? But, you know, other situations, I think that we do have to sometimes read the crowd and just, like, see, you know, just kind of the age group and what's going to relate to them. You know what I mean?
That shit.
But, yeah, I don't know. That's how... I don't know, because then it's also a thing of, like, not everybody a skater. You know what I'm saying? Some folks just go out there to have fun, for real. Like,
and that's the next part of the question.
Okay.
Well, So it sounds like you're saying mix is a mixed balance.
Yeah, yeah, type. It's a mix. Cause
I would say that, know, as well.
You know, it's some skaters that prefer certain DJs and stuff. Mm-hmm. You know, you can't be mad at that. That's like their favorite type of ice cream. You know, right. You can't tell them not to, you know,
mm-hmm.
like what they like.
The next question was, knowing you can't please everyone, what percentage/group should you try to please? For example, like the regulars, the masses, or like the popular skaters?
You said the masses, the popular skaters, or what was the last one?
The regulars. So I feel like the regulars would be a little mixture of, like, skaters and, like, just people that just come. And then the masses would be the normal people. Right. And then the popular skaters would be, like, the skaters.
Right. Yeah, it really depends on night. Because, like, for like, a team night, I'm not as, like, inclined to play for, like, the skaters necessarily because...
Wait, are you sure? Because some of them teen nights, it might not be, like, jersey skating, but, I mean, the Atlanta style is definitely...
Yeah, now I play some of the ride music, but then even that, like, I treat it more like a party, to be honest. You know what I'm saying? Like, for a teen night, at least. I mean, I play ride music, of course, but it's, like, I do notice that there's a drop, you know what I'm saying? Because there's not, the majority is not the riders.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? So it's like, at that point, and then it's crazy because I came across Jermaine Dupri. Did I tell you about this?
That you came across?
Well, on Instagram, on, like, if he had a video on Instagram or whatever.
Oh, I thought you were saying in physical. Nah. Okay.
But he was talking about it and he was like, Yeah, like if you under the age of 21, like the skating rink is pretty much your club. You know what I'm saying? And I had to think about it. I was like, dang, that really is like a perspective, because like,
I mean, okay, nowadays it is.
Yeah,
because our club was the club,
teen club.
Yeah,
right. Yeah,
we actually had clubs now.
But they, yeah,
they kind of died out. But yeah.
So that's why that was an interesting perspective, because I was like, wow, like, you know, that's why teen night, I feel like, you know, be so crazy like that, you know, and so.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. That's kind of why I treat it like that, you know, because I. And then I think it's also because of the fact that we had Saturday Night Trap Fever. So, like,
if you want that, if you want that, then you come to that. If the skaters want that, they got to come to that.
Right.
To get their fix type shit.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. Fact. Yeah. You really hit it on the head. There's really nothing else. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's about it. So, From one left question to another left question. So, just like we said, we always get you get an option to either DM us questions, or you can send it to the Not Gonna Lie app.
Yeah.
So, this is our Not Gonna Lie question. Would you be interested in someone watching while you had sex?
Would I be interested in somebody watching me have sex?
Yes. I'll start off.
Oh, yeah. Go ahead.
I'll start it off. So, with certain things, I am interested to see, like, how they are and how it makes me feel type joint. There are certain things that is just off rip. Is like, okay, no, I'm not. Absolutely not.
Right.
But there are certain things that I'll be like, you know what? Let's peek in this room. See what this, not literally, but like, let's see what this is about. See how I feel about this. So to say all that, I'd say I would try it once just to see like how I feel about it. But I feel like it also depends who this person is that's watching. Now, if it's fucking Debo sitting there watching me while I'm like playing with my girl, like that's like, yeah, no, that's weird. But
right.
I don't know if it's another female, like, I don't know. I don't know. I feel like I'd be cool with that.
Yeah.
But yeah. But if it's like,
yeah, bro, I think if it's another female, I feel like it's not as big of a deal. What's interesting about that though, is that like, you know, all these interviews and stuff, like, it's crazy to think about, just because I've worked, you know what I'm saying, on certain sets and stuff, that, like, when people be doing interviews, you know, we just think it's, like, oh, the interviewer and that person.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of times, there's, like, hella people, like, in the background of, like, the interview. And we don't even know that as an audience, because, you know, we just see the camera view, right? Yeah. So, I always think that's just interesting, though, that fact that, like, these folks got to do these interviews, and, like, there's hella people watching them. You know, it's not even just no, like, one-on-one type of thing. But to get back to the whole sex thing, like, I feel like if it was a woman, then, like, I'd be less, you know, less inclined to have an issue with it. But, yeah, I ain't doing it for no other dude, because I don't know. I just... Yeah, I'm good on it, man.
I hear you. that's about it. Appreciate everybody for spending the question.
Yeah,
definitely. We're gonna get to the meat and grits of the episode. Okay, so to let everybody know, we do this every fifth episode.
Right.
What we're going to start doing, every third episode, not third episode, every third project review episode, we're going to start picking stuff that we want to hear.
Yeah.
So the next two episodes is going to be back to y'all, but the next episode, But the episode after that, but the project reviews after that is going to be on DJ Tanaka. So right. whatever DJ Tanaka wants to hear, we're going to listen to. So with that being said, that means mine is today. Well, right now. But so with that being said, we're going to listen to Sahai's The Ivy League. I don't know if I've said it on any other episode, but yeah, we're going to listen to Sahai's Ivy League to see. See how I feel about this. The reason why I picked this this project was because I want to say it was either this. OK, Tanaka, answer me this because you're a big Sahai fan.
What?
What project came before this? Like right before this?
What year did this drop?
2012.
Royal Flush 2.
Okay, so no. So what would have been after this? If it's Royal Flush 2 you're thinking about, then it would have been Jack of All Trades. Because I know Jack of All Trades is newer than Royal Flush 2.
Okay, so then Jack of All Trades.
Okay. I didn't know if I was missing anything in between.
Oh yeah.
Because I actually heard Royal Flush 2 and Jack of All Trades.
I just know Royal Flush 2 dropped in 2011. Mm-hmm. So
I feel you. But yeah, nah.
And I don't know. I look at Jack of All Trades like not like a.
Well, it's a project. I mean, it's a project. A mixtape. Yeah, it's definitely a mixtape. No, it's no facts. It's definitely a mixtape.
It's just because it's freestyles and stuff. So mm-hmm. It's just like, I don't know. I don't really count it as like them other joints and stuff. I don't know. It's weird.
So that's a whole nother story because you already feel like there's some mixtapes that aren't considered albums. So like.
Right.
So if it has other people's beats on it, so if the majority has other people's beats on it, then it's not a project, or is it like a certain amount? Like, yeah. How do you feel?
I don't know. In this new age of like mixtapes and stuff, it was kind of like, I don't know.
So you didn't consider.
It didn't hold as much weight, you know what I'm saying? As like them other joints. I don't know.
I mean, but answer me this. Why is that? Because No like Ceilings
it,
definitely.
It felt like an appetizer as opposed to a meal.
But that's what I'm saying, though. So why was it that this felt like that, but like No Ceilings or the Drought 3 or like Sorry for the Wait was okay for Wayne to do it, but Sahai felt like.
That's a good point. I didn't even think about that. Yeah, I don't know. Maybe I just didn't really like the Jack of All Trades.
Oh, you didn't like it?
I mean, there were some joints on there, but it was just kind
of
like...
Off the top of my head, I did like Late Night Tip, and I did like... I think he did I'm On One, I believe.
Yeah, I can't remember. He definitely had some bars on there, though. I remember he had... what did he say? He said something about a Steak Night Grip or something. Anyway, he was comparing it. Basically describing holding a gun. He said the joint had like a steak knife grip. Mm-hmm. I just thought that was hella clever because I don't know. I never heard someone describe holding the strap like that. You know what I'm saying?
Well, to reel it back in, the reason why I bring up Jack of All Trades, because that was actually the last mixtape I heard of Sahai. After that, I was like, I ain't gonna lie, I was fed up. And I was like, bro, why haven't you dropped an album yet? So from this point forward, I'm not listening to anything else that's not an album.
Right. And then when he did drop an album, did you listen to it?
Yeah.
Okay. Fair enough.
But what's funny was, I feel like I did listen to the whole thing through, but I feel like I need to listen to it again because I don't really...
recall it.
Yeah, not necessarily I don't recall it, because like there are some songs on there that I love, like I'm Fine and New Africa and No Dope on Sunday, stuff like that. But I definitely need to listen to it again. Oh, I mean, of course, That Side, but whatever. This is the mixtape that Ivy League was the mixtape where I kind of heard some songs, but I didn't listen to the whole thing because this is when I was like, you know what? No, I'm not. I'm not listening to this. Until you come out with this album, right. I'm not listening to your shit. Right. Period. But, yeah. So, So yeah, so I finally heard the album. It was dope. And now I'm gonna start doing, now I'm gonna start catching up with all his mixtapes. So thanks. When it's my turn again, then we might do another Sahai joint.
Not mad at all.
Cause yeah, Ivy League Kickback, and I think he has the Black History Project or something like that. Was those only three? Or was there anything else? I feel like there was something else. I feel like I'm missing something.
I'm pretty sure that sound like it. Dang. That Black History Project.
Okay. Well, yeah. We're gonna get into those later. But yeah, right now we're gonna get into the Ivy League. I vaguely remember like one of the I actually remember a couple of the songs, because as Turn Up always likes to bring up, this is DJ Turn Up in his hip hop early days. So Ivy League was definitely one song I remember. A-Town was another one.
Mm-hmm.
What's actually funny about one of these songs on here, 100 Bottles.
I got to give Breezy that A-Town song.
Why? Oh, for the Braves? Brave Stadium, duh.
Yeah.
Duh. Oh, dur. But yeah, no. What's actually funny about the Ivy League album was, the project was, he had a recycled song on there, but it wasn't his song. It was that 100 Bottles.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you knew that. Did you know that?
You said it was recycled?
Yeah.
What do you mean by that?
100 Bottles was not his song.
Like, okay, elaborate on it. Like,
as in, like, it was...
Like, there's another artist that had the song?
No. As in, like, this was Chris Brown's song, and he just added Big Sean and Sci High.
Yeah, that was, Oh, Chris Brown has a song.
That's his song, yeah.
Well, I know it's a sample.
It's a sample from what?
I want to say the Diddy song.
Let's look it up. I didn't know there was any, Yeah, no, I didn't know there was any, I didn't know there was any samples on here. No. Yeah, I was saying, like, I don't know if you've heard of Chris Brown's mixtape Boys in Detention.
No.
But it came out before this. Okay. And I want to say it came out in 2011. And it's a version with just Chris Brown on it.
Oh.
Like, the part where he's like, oh my God, waiter. Like, that's like the first verse
type shit. You. Okay. Well, you know more than me then. I feel like I heard this from something else, but I think I might have mistaken it.
Yeah, so that was always interesting to me. But and then Drink and Smoke, I think I've heard as well.
Oh yeah, I think that was on
Food Savers and Scissors. Okay, I wasn't sure if Food Savers and Scissors was on the Kickback, but I do remember hearing Food Savers and Scissors as well. Out of all the songs I have heard, I'd probably say Ivy League is my favorite.
Yeah, but, facts.
Any background? Anything you remember about the Ivy League? Like anything? Like does it spark any memories from?
Oh yeah, for sure. This is around the time that I first got to Atlanta, or Georgia. This is when I was over there on Reading Road, over on the east side. And yeah, this was probably the first summer that I spent in Georgia. And I just remember working at the club and bumping this mixtape on live mixtapes.
So when you weren't in Georgia, you were still listening to Sci-Hi?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, my first.
So how did you find out about Sci-Hi?
I was scrolling Def Jam website, looking at the artists, yeah, and mm-hmm. I seen Sci-Hi the Prince. I'm like, oh, who is this? And I heard, doom, 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 standing on the corner, and my dick is in my jeans.
And that song caught you?
Yeah, cause it was like, I was like, dang, he rapping over like an acoustic beat, but then he got bars, and I was like, who is this dude? And so then I looked more into him, and yeah, he just had hella bars, and he's from Atlanta. The fact that he was from Atlanta and he had bars, that's what really caught me, cause I'm like, dang, most of the rappers from Atlanta, you know, not so lyrical like that,
right?
But he's pretty dope, like lyrically, so I had a lot of hope for him. And I don't know, I was just kind of rooting for him just because, you know, Southern lyricists, I feel like the South still doesn't get looked at as like, oh, they got lyrics down there.
Definitely not.
So, but yeah, that was, so yeah, ever since then, yeah, I just kept following him. And yeah, I was obviously excited when this tape dropped. And the whole summer I was bumping this for real. I remember being on live mixtapes listening to it.
Word. Well, all right, y'all. Let's get into it. So for my folks that's never listened to our project review episodes, when you hear pause the podcast, go listen to the song. When the song is over, come back. We gonna give you a little opinion, our opinion on how we feel about the song. Yeah. So, looks like he's gonna set the vibe with this intro. The Ivy League Club. Let's get to it. Oh yeah, that's that one's going to try to, yeah, that one's getting you ready for the
Fair East Side.
What is Lean On Me?
Fair East Side.
Is that the part where they're in the bathroom?
By that sun. I don't know the lyrics, but yeah. Anyway.
They're in the bathroom?
Yeah.
Is that the bathroom scene? That's like the only part,
you know,
I remember
when they sing
movie.
That song, right?
Is that what?
You know when they sing that song, the school song? Oh, okay. It's like an acapella. Anyway, they had an acapella group. I forgot. I think it was. Let me not F that up. I don't know who was the group. I think they were actually like a group, though. Singing group. But anyway.
Oh, this is an actual singing group.
So this was right before he catches them in the bathroom. They're like, he's grilling them like school song. Like, you better know it. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And then that's when they sing it like perfectly, like harmonized and all that.
Right.
Like crazy. So. But yeah, Lean On Me is the movie.
Lean On Me, okay.
One time from Morgan Freeman. I think.
Yeah, Morgan Freeman. Yeah. So
shout out to Young Joe watching Lean On Me in his Beamer V.
You're stupid. Shout out Big Steve for that one. What was I about to say? So is Lean On Me in a lot of the interludes here, or is it just different school stuff? Yeah. Oh, it's Lean On Me.
I think so. I can't recall.
Can't recall.
I think it is, though.
Okay. Well, let's keep it moving, man. Ivy League featuring Promise. Do you know any other, or is she just one of those?
Yeah, Promise went on to become. No.
I was waiting on
he
it.
He was
too.
Waiting on
I was waiting on it.
No, I know.
Nothing.
Mike
nothing
Will
Promise.
Made it.
Nothing from Promise. Okay.
Yeah, I
well,
don't know about Promise.
Oh, Mike Will made this beat. Okay, so we're in for it. All right, Ivy League featuring Promise. Let's see what we got. So, Promise turned out to be Summer What? No, I'm just joking. like I said, I had already heard Ivy League, so like I said, it just set the tone. As soon as you heard the intro, let me hear that tone. You better not mess up. And then you just drop the song. So, yeah. Ivy League.
That was was Mike Will popping at this time? 2012?
What? Mike Will?
Yeah, what was it? I just forgot. I'd be losing track of, like, when was his first, like, real hit, would you say? Like,
I would definitely say he had some hits in 2012. Off the top of my head, I couldn't tell you, but we could find out.
Because I'm trying to think, Because No Lie was him, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
That was definitely, yeah. At that point, yeah, No Lie had already came out. All right, so 2012. So I'm going to just say the whole 2012. This is probably some stuff that hasn't came out yet. So we got Never End, Banza Make a Dance, Itching, No Lie, Mercy, Turn on the Lights, Way Too Gone, Ain't No Way Around It, Tupac Back.
Tell me 2011.
Tupac Back and Ain't No Way Around It.
In 2011, that's what he had? Mm-hmm. Okay. So 20, because I can't remember when the Ivy League tape dropped. So that's the
2012. Reason. I don't remember
what I'm saying. Because I didn't know if those hits came out like after the tape drop or like prior.
I want to say Ivy League didn't come out. Okay, so always with 2012, always like to think about. Okay, was I in South Carolina State or was I out of South Carolina State? And right. I feel like Ivy League, I was out of South Carolina State when it came out.
Which would mean?
After May,
okay. Yeah. That makes sense because I remember I told you I listened to it all summer. So mm-hmm. I feel like, you know, probably around that time, like mm-hmm. May, June or something like that.
Yeah, I want to say this was definitely, and No Lie had came out probably like, No Lie by Drake and 2 Chainz that came out probably like a few months before.
Okay.
Like before. And As a matter of fact, I vaguely remember because I remember when it first dropped, they only dropped a clean version.
What's crazy is I remember that song vividly because they were killing it in the club. I used to hear it on the radio all the time. And then on top of that, Q, aka Love After.
Shout out, Love.
He was like, boy, you talk about wearing a song out, bro. That's all I heard in this car. Like,
No Lie.
Well, I think it was because it was that line that 2 Chainz had, like,
right hand on the steering wheel.
Nah, he's talking about that trash. Put him in the dumpster with his trash ass or some shit like that. You know what I'm talking about?
I'd have to hear it again. I vaguely remember.
Hold on, man. I gotta pull the lyric up to that joint because it was just hella funny. Like.
Well, while you're doing that, we're gonna move on to the next song. Princeton University. This looks like another interlude, so we'll come back with what song he was talking about, what part he was talking about. Not gonna lie to you, bro. I definitely thought that was an ad on YouTube, bro.
Every time, bro. It was like one of them, you know, when you're watching TV and that jump pop up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, back in the day, like, oh, you should come to this university. Or, like, even when you scroll on the internet and you just...
What's that shit they used to play when we were supposed to be in school, but we were out of school and that shit? Like, you're sitting at home, you're watching... This is the black dude. I never remember what commercial that was, but I just remember...
Right.
He'd just be cursing me out, like, because I'm, like, off of school. Like, bro, I'm in high school, bro.
Yeah, I remember that. I found a lyric from that song. 2 Chainz, it was the third verse. So Chainz goes, name a ninja that wants some.
I'll wrap his ass, I'll
trap out his trap ass. His ass. Put his ass in a plastic bag with his trashy ass. Take him out. Anyway, Q used to love that. Or Love used to love that line, bro. Like,
mm-hmm.
So
interesting.
Yeah.
So, what's even more interesting is the fucking honor roll. So we're gonna get to the next song, which is the honor roll. What's interesting about that song is the beat does nothing for me.
Mm-hmm.
However, he definitely holds that beat with his lyrics.
Yeah.
His lyrics and his delivery and just, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. The beat didn't do too much for me. It's just kind of there. But yeah, I felt like for the most part the flow was straight. There is just certain instances that I felt like it was a little like didn't quite, you know what I'm saying, all the way blend in, you know what I'm saying?
What parts would you say that is like?
There's just like a couple bars like in the first verse.
Mm-hmm.
It just seemed a little jumbled up, you know what I'm saying? Cadence wise. But for the most part, like he was on top of the flow, mm-hmm. you know what I'm saying? Obviously the bars, like, you know, he had some witty, you know, stuff in there. I will say I've always had like a love-hate relationship with his singing.
And, I
can
feel that.
Yeah, and the hook, like, I was just like, some of it I could F with, but then like the other half, I was just like, I don't know. You know what I'm saying?
Scale of 1 to 10, what are you giving that chorus?
It's like a 7.
7?
Yeah. Yeah. Maybe a little less. Yeah, I don't know.
It's like 6.9.
Yeah, yeah. 2. You know what I'm saying? Because it's like, yeah, I don't know. It's just his singing, like, sometimes it works, sometimes, like, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I hear that. I definitely hear that.
Or just even, like, the fact that, because sometimes artists will layer their vocals, you know what I'm saying? And, like, that joint is just him straight. Like, it's no background, you know, to assist it, so.
I feel that. So we're gonna get into the next song. 8 Town. I've heard this one. You have too, but I'm gonna listen to it again. 8 Town featuring, I ain't gonna lie, bro. This joint kinda grinds my gears when
false advertising. No.
Low key.
Yeah.
Low key. I feel like you know what I'm about to say. However, when they put the whole group on there. There's only one person that actually like represents that group. Kind of like when JT was in jail and they used to say featuring the City Girls and it'd only be Young Miami. Or you could literally
like y'all should Young. Just say featuring Young Miami of City Girls.
Yeah, of the City Girls. There's some, yeah. But I'm going to say what it really is. So we're going to listen to A-Town starring Sci High featuring B.O.B. and Quez.
A-Town, Sci-Hi, the Prince, B.O.B. and Quez, man. Yeah, man. I think it's dope. Hey, have you ever heard anybody rap over the Tomahawk?
I've never heard.
Yeah. No. Yeah, that was the first time I ever heard a rapper do it. So I was like, dang, that's pretty dope. Yeah, I'm not gonna lie, that was a pretty, you know, solid record. I think the one thing, the only thing my minor complaint on it would be is that I wish the mixing on the record was better.
Dude, when I literally was about to say, like,
you about to say that?
Bruh, cause like when he came on, well, I don't know if you heard it, like, but like on the first verse, that joint was cranked up way too high. Like that joint was like sore thumb type joint. I was like,
okay, I'm glad I'm not the only one that noticed that. Because
yeah,
I was like,
mix
bruh,
was kinda, yeah, it's kinda
hit. I was like, it just the vocals shouldn't sound like they're sitting on top of the beat. They should be blended in with the beat.
Yeah.
And that joint just like stuck out. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Like that was my only complaint. Cause I feel like if it was mixed better, it would have sound like, you know what I'm saying? Even, you know, a greater record. But that's like, I think that's like, you know, as DJs, like when we listen to so many records, like we start to pick up on, like, that's why I have such appreciation for Dr. Dre, because I can tell how seriously he be taking the production, because you're able to hear that the drums are popping like a lot different than just the normal drum that other producers be using. So it's that attention though to detail that, you know. But yeah, that would be my only complaint, I mean, on that record. I feel like other than that, I appreciate all the Atlanta references, you know what I'm saying?
Let me ask you this. Do you feel like that's why they came out with a remix? So they can get the mixing right? Or is the the remix just as bad? Because honestly, I don't really remember.
I can't recall. I'd have to re-listen to the remix. But I feel like the flow, the delivery, just all the references to
Atlanta.
You know? Just
I felt like B.O.B. went so hard, that's why they put both of his shits on like both versions.
Right. Definitely.
So shout out to B.O.B.
Yeah,
shout out to B.O.B.
Don't get more Decatur than that, man. You know?
Not at all.
Yeah.
But we don't get into Slick track 6. That's interesting. Do you think he did that on purpose? Track 6, Slick.
Oh, I don't know. Maybe.
I don't know. It's something I thought about. Let's get into it. So I'm not gonna lie. Off the jump, the chorus gets a strong 6 from me.
Mm-hmm.
Strong 6. But of course, Sci High, he's always able to bring it back with his the verses.
Right.
And I'm not gonna lie, that is one thing I love. It's one little thing I always love about Sci High when he does that. And you caught me when I was. I love when he does that joint. I don't know what it is about the dun 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 dun. I always love when he does that. Don't quote me. I don't know what songs he does it in, but he does it a lot. And when he did that, I immediately caught it. And I was like, my dog.
Yeah, I feel you on the hook, that joint. It kind of came off a little generic, you know what I'm saying?
A little trees grew.
I know that he's trying to fit into the Atlanta scene. Yeah, you know what I mean? Definitely. Like, you know, because he's like, I still want to give him bars, but I also want to make sure that they would be played in the club. You know what I'm saying? So.
And it's funny you said that, because I was definitely like, bro, I could add this to the Gold Rush playlist.
Shout out to Gold Rush. Yeah, so. But I can appreciate it just because he's also that's Atlanta culture, man. You know that was part of the slang, like, you know, slick, like, you know what I'm saying? Like,
I still feel like I hear people say slick.
Oh yeah, yeah, for sure. So that's it. Yeah, slick. Drip, you getting all them gigs, ain't it?
Right.
Slick.
Slick. Yeah, bro, you know I'm true, bro.
Slick. Yeah. I don't know if he would say slick.
Instead of saying real talk, he says slick.
Right.
Which is
segue on
to the next track. But yes, real talk. Who's this?
Dose. Yep.
Okay. According to Rap Genius, he says Dose, and then in parentheses it says USA.
Oh yeah.
I'm gonna just use my context clue. I'm assuming there's a Dose in another country or some shit. Do you know anything about Dose?
Yeah, he was another, I think, rapper from Georgia who was kind of on the come up. I just remember I want to say he was on the Rax remix when they had all the people. Yeah. So
I don't remember him at all because you know what? There might have been another person on there. For some reason, the only person I can remember on that Rax remix is Nelly. Yeah. I don't know why.
Nah, I mean, Nelly, you know, he gave a, you know, he attacked it like how Nelly would. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, it just.
However you take that. Anyway, we're going to get into Real Talk, Side of Prince featuring Dose. Boy, Sci got one thing. He got metaphors for days.
For days, man.
Like, that's Like, I feel like that's what sums up this song. Like, it's just, bro, he just has metaphors for days, and them shits are like amazing. Like, I'm like, wow. Like, how? Like, where do you come up with this shit?
The wittiness, man, the cleverness. I'm just like, damn. Yeah, there's. I'm trying to think. I don't know about Dose's verse. That it was decent, but there are some parts of it that I just was like.
He reminds me of Tracy T.
That's a fair comparison. Very fair comparison.
I tried to look up something about Dose. I couldn't find anything.
Oh,
wait,
yeah.
Was he a battle rapper? Because there's a battle rapper named Dose. I don't know if he was a battle rapper at any point.
I don't believe so, yeah. Oh,
okay, well then I'm...
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what happened to Dose. Like, I heard him on like two records and then like... That was it. You know what I'm saying? I'm not sure what the situation was. Yeah, what'd you think of the beat, man?
Yeah, it's more of the same. Kinda yeah, bad.
I kind of just, yeah.
That was a Lex Luger beat?
Yeah.
That was definitely some below mid for Lex Luger.
Yeah, yeah. Oof. Yeah, yeah, it was a decent record. I mean, the metaphors and that were entertaining, but like, other than that, I wasn't as engaged, you know?
Oh, no, definitely. No, yeah. I feel that. I was just saying that's just was one of the pros of the song.
Yeah, yeah. So, but yeah, I ain't gonna lie. I don't know. That's kind of one that I kind of skip when I get to this project. So, you know.
I hear you.
Yeah.
But what we're not gonna skip is the skits. So let's see what we got in this next skit. And of course it sets us up for the next song, Food Savers and Scissors. Do you know where that's from?
Yeah, School of Rock.
So it is just from a whole bunch of different school
random movies.
Yeah. Random school movies.
Yeah.
Okay. Got you. Alright, so we're we're gonna move on. Shout out to Jack Black. But
yeah.
Food Savers and Scissors. This is actually one of the ones I did here. So let's get to it. Food Savers and Scissors. Food Savers and Scissors. So what does that mean exactly?
Oh, he's talking about coupons.
Oh, that's it?
Yeah.
is that really what's going on? Coupons?
No, he's talking about that greenery, marijuana. You know what food savers are?
No.
That's the joint, the plastic, like you put your food and you put like the plastic over it and then you like seal it and then you like suck the, you know how there's like a motor, I don't know, I forgot what it is, but it's like a motor thing that like sucks all the air out of it so that it compresses like the
plastic. I think I do know what you're talking about.
So food savers and scissors refers to like bagging up marijuana.
Got
you know
you.
What I'm saying? So yeah, just to like, that's how some drug dealers be moving it, like when they have large amounts.
Yeah, it was, I mean, this was one of the songs that I did know and I was cool with, but like, I don't know, bro, these beats, are like really like sticking out. They're just kind of just, I feel like he just got a good deal on beats.
Yeah.
And was like, oh, like I usually sell these but for you, I give to you for knowing these, like knowing damn well he wasn't getting, like he wasn't really in a deal. These are just the beats they had on their back burner type joint. And it was right. Just like, whatever. But,
whatever.
Yeah, but I mean, yeah. And I don't know, this might be unpopular opinion. I feel like he could have did that song without Schoolboy Q.
Man, those. Those ad-libs was kind of crazy, bro. Yeah, yeah, okay, okay.
Like, it was the like, delivery. Whoa. It was, yeah, whoa. It was the flow, the delivery. Like, it was just like, yeah.
That man was all over the place with that.
I think I'll pass, my boy.
Yeah.
I think I'll pass on that one.
Yeah, man, definitely. Yeah, I don't know. That record just, I wasn't.
Wasn't a fan?
It's another pass. Another fan. You know what I'm saying?
Another pass. Well, hopefully the next one won't be a pass. This is what we got. Tool featuring Pill and the late, great Trouble. Yeah, let's see what we got. So, to say something and I lost it immediately. So you brought up a point a couple songs ago about your love-hate relationship with Sahai and his singing. I'm assuming you're on the love side this time.
It's still a little iffy, man. You know, it's I don't know. It's just because it's that anthem for, you know, dancing in the club with your gun, bro. You know what I'm saying?
I'm not gonna lie. This song, ever so slightly, like, ever so slightly does not age well. But, other than that...
Turn up, who would have thought, bro?
Yeah.
Somebody's flipping Smooth Operator into Too Long on a Hater, bro.
Yeah, I'm not even gonna get into why the song doesn't age well a little bit, but I don't know, man. That beat, I feel like whoever made that beat could have did a little better, cause the hi-hats and the trap beat was not sitting with that Smooth Operator.
Right, that shit
was definitely clashing.
Yeah,
that joint was clashing bad, and I don't know. I like the concept.
Yeah.
In execution is probably get like a good, like I said, everything in like a six. Strong six. This is like a 6.89.
Yeah. I was like, dang.
Definitely strong. But I'm not going to lie, I don't think I've ever heard Trouble rap like that.
Boy, he was snapping when.
Boy, what?
Yeah, bro. I think the highlights, honestly, for this was the features, bro. I feel like Pill and Trouble, like, they really, like, went in for real. Like, so, I don't know. That choo-choo kind of, you know, that kind of threw it off for me from Sahai. You know what I'm saying? He has some...
He gets a little cheese ball with his metaphor.
Yeah, sometimes. A little bit.
I'm not gonna lie. I feel like Big Sean and Sahai kind of, like, are, like, one of the same with that. Like, they got some dope-ass metaphors, but sometimes they do... run off in the realm of little gets cheesy
and a little corny, you know.
A little cheese bally.
But boy, yeah, Trouble was snapping though. And then I don't know what Pill's verse. I love that breakdown at the end. You know what I'm saying? I feel like the record needed that, because if it didn't have that, like, it would have been
more of the same.
Yeah. But that was kind of the highlights for me. On this record. And then the hook, I just I don't know.
Strong six.
But I will say that was one of my favorite records on this project.
Yeah, I like the concept. It was just definitely better in execution. All right, so we're gonna keep it moving.
Next, we got that Drink and Smoke with Big Crit and Yellow Wolf.
Yeah, this is actually one of the ones that I did here. This is a cool little...
This made some rounds just because of Big Crit. I think it was on Big Crit's project, too.
As well? Yeah. Oh, okay, so that's probably what it was. Yeah. All right, well, let's get to it. How'd you feel about that song, Tanaka?
Well, it has a cool vibe to it. you know, it's a chill record. Something smooth that I could, you know, vibe to. But you know, I could also see people kind of zoning out, losing interest in it. You know what I'm saying, too? You know what I mean? I was able to just be engaged because I think I appreciate, like, all three of them together. Yeah, because I was going to ask you, turn up, like, what would you think if they had came out as a group, like Crit, Saha, and Yellow Wolf?
That's interesting. I feel like it'd be like the Southern Slaughterhouse.
Because I was kind of looking forward to that. Like, they had did, like, so many collaborations. Well, I think even... Yeah, I think, like, they would have been a good group. You know what I'm saying? Just because that time period, they was all from the South and it was all lyrical, you know?
I don't know. Maybe I'm looking at it from a different perspective. But, like, it just felt like it was, like...
Kind of dragging a little bit.
Not even. Oh, but, like, It felt like the beat was dragging, but then, like, they're, like, going nuts on this, like, fucking beat. Like, they're... Like, it's giving me, like, mixed signals. Like, the beat is, like...
I think it was... It's because the hook. The hook was also so, like...
You smoke, drinking. Yeah,
it's on some chill joint, and then now you hit me with all these bars.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying, but the beat is also, like...
Yeah, yeah. Not for that.
And then Big Crit and Yellow Wolf come on. Like, the only person that really matched it was Sai High. Like, he's kind of... This shit, he look like vegetables.
Yeah.
Like, he sounds like he's like... Like, he sound like he high as fuck on this song.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it's just... I don't know. It just gave me mixed signals. I mean, it was cool.
Yeah.
It was just... It just gave me, like...
I didn't know where we were going with
it. Yeah, I didn't know where we were going with this. Yeah. Definitely. But,
I got you.
We're going to keep moving, Bachelor. Let's see what this next song is talking about. Besides the intro, well, besides the second song, Ivy League, this is probably one of my best. This is probably one of the best songs on this album.
Yeah, no,
this
that
song was a vibe. Yeah. He was like the beat matched the delivery.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it was just a smooth selling, just went down real good.
Yeah, no, definitely. It's like, dang, man. You know, speaking up for all the bachelors out here, boy, it get a little lonely out here.
Maybe,
you know,
maybe that's
like,
what it was. Maybe that's why.
Nah, but that joint's real though. You know what I'm saying? Like, dang, like, I feel like,
which is ironic as fuck. When did you say this came out?
2012.
And it's like, you said it's probably like summer 2012.
Yeah, like summer 2012, I'd say.
Which is ironic as fuck, because I think I was definitely, this is when I was with my ex.
Oh, dang. Oh, snap. Yeah.
Isn't that ironic? But yeah, Bachelor, this is definitely a cool vibe. I would definitely am going to add this to my playlist.
Yeah, no, this was a, I mean, turn up, hit it on the head, like, it just... This wasn't a record in which we had to complain about certain parts. I feel like they all kind of came together pretty well. Just, you know, cruising on. So.
A complete song.
Yeah, you know, so.
Definitely. All right, let's see what we got tomorrow. See if we can keep this ball rolling.
So, yeah, that was that tomorrow. Sai featuring Lloyd. It was a cool vibe, you know what I'm saying? I was vibing to it, you know. But boy, I gotta speak on it, bro.
Speak on it.
Throw that drum kit away. What the fuck was going on in that beat, bro? I'm over here trying to vibe to it, and boy, as soon as them drums came in, it was over with, bro. Because that percussion was crazy, dog. Like, What do we got going on, man? That was killing the whole vibe of the record, bro. Like, I don't know, man.
I'm not going to, yeah. You know what's crazy? I don't know. Maybe I just kind of just mailed it. Like, I just was like, I mean, all these beats, the whole, this whole mixtape has just been meh, either meh or below meh.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, Bachelor, honestly, Bachelor is like the best beat on here. Like, even yeah. Ivy League is kind of meh. But like,
I don't know. I like that Ivy League.
Ivy League is like the percussion, though. I didn't like the percussion. I like the percussion part.
They trying to go for the band joint.
I guess, whatever, man. But, I don't know, bro. I feel like this song, like, it's a cool song, but, like, I feel like the Tomorrow May Never Come, like, yeah. just doesn't give the right
sentiment.
Like, you're trying to live the rest of your life with this person, and you're saying, I might die tomorrow. Like, yeah. I might die in the next hour. Like, I don't know. It just doesn't.
You're trying to live in the moment, turn up.
But that's, he's talking about, like, what? I mean, I guess.
Oh, he's talking about marriage and all that. Yeah, I guess.
But tomorrow may never come? Like.
Yeah,
so. Well, I guess he's saying, let's just do it now, I guess.
Yeah. First of all.
Let's just do it now. Yeah, I mean, I guess so. Cause yeah, he's talking about fucking on the first night. He fell in love, love at first sight, and all that shit. I guess.
Meet me at the altar in your white dress. It's like, but bruh, you feel me on that though? That percussion was
no. I ain't gonna lie. Like at first, I was like, okay, so this is another letdown.
This is another letdown.
I don't know. I just kind of just, I don't know.
You was able to tune it out, bro.
I just tuned it out. I was like, whatever.
Yeah.
It is what it is at this point.
I feel like it had potential, and then it just, yeah. once that beat came in, it was.
Okay, so I don't know. Maybe I'm looking too far into this, but there's a line in here where he said, you got me feeling like Christopher Columbus. Cause that's how wet I get when you coming.
Yeah, I don't know. I can't speak on that one. Yeah.
That because I thought he was gonna come with a clever metaphor, and like that was like terrible. Like that was like that wasn't even like. Like, he didn't even try. I feel like he just gave up. Like, he was just. Or is it because the wet thing? Is it the wet?
I guess when Christopher Columbus came, he got wet, walking on the
ship. That was, boy, talk about reach. Speaking of reach.
Yeah, you might have pulled a muscle on that
one. Boy, what? He might have to end his basketball career, too. Shit. Goddamn. I'm not gonna lie, bro. This song right here is making me nervous. Just with the features on this song.
Oh, this a banger, baby.
Apparently it is.
This is classic 2012 right here. Classic 2012.
And this is like mini Afro K Cam.
Right.
Lord, I'm scared. Grits, Stewie Rock featuring. Oh well, Stewie Rock and K Cam featured. Tanaka, can you say reach?
Well, that's on banger, ain't it?
Define banger.
Folks was at Waffle House having an all-star special and they had some grits. They like, oh boy, girls raised in the South.
You know what's crazy? You doing this fist pump thing. I didn't even realize that grits, they were saying grits in the ad-libs until like you were fist pumping. I'm like, they're really just grit. Like they couldn't come up with any way better to include grits in the.
You like that Stewie Rock hook, bro?
So let's talk about it. Auto-tune. How'd you feel about
Nah, sir. This was another one of the records I feel like Sci-Hi trying to fit into like the Atlanta sound. And it's just like.
It's a reach. It's a reach.
Boy, he had me rolling. And this shawty had a back with two humps. Something like a camel or something like that. Like, I was like, who made
this beat?
I don't know, bro. I'm sorry, man. This is another one of them skippers, though.
Not Drummer Boy.
Yeah, I just, I don't know, bro. That joint just wasn't, it wasn't for me, man. I'll pass on that one, bro.
Yeah, it was a pass.
I feel like K Camp has had better moments.
Definitely.
You know, so it's just.
Pass or Stewie Rock.
Just all around.
It's a no for me, dog. It's a no for me, dog. So, hopefully, feed up a little better. Let's see what we got, feed up. I just knew that, like, as soon as the song came on, I was like, is this that fucking Anita Baker? Fucking Sweet Love? And then he started singing. Yeah, and then he started singing the chorus.
Yes, indeed.
Not gonna lie, this is probably one of the better remixes. Like, not remixes, but the, like, better sample singing of, like, him just taking the chorus of, like, prior songs and making it another song. This is one of the better ones. I'm not gonna lie. I don't know what made this song.
I think the production.
Is it the production? I think it might be the production. Yeah.
I think the way they flipped it was a lot smoother in the execution.
Than any of the other ones. Definitely. I'm not gonna lie. I could have did without the flip of the Anita Baker verse. I guess that's the part you've been talking about.
Yeah, yeah, turn up. It was a cool vibe, but I think this is another skip.
I probably wouldn't skip this one. This is okay.
I'm alright without that one. I'm good
without it. I feel you. Teach
his own. I don't know, bro.
It's a love hate.
Maybe it's because of how raspy his voice is. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't know.
It just sounds like he shouldn't be fucking singing. That's what it just sounds like, honestly. But I don't know.
Yeah.
Let me see. I can't stand y'all. Can't stand y'all. All right, let's see what we got. Okay, short, sweet, and to the point. Spins definitely. Shout out to DJ Spins. He put his foot in that fucking beat.
Yeah,
that beat is like, that's probably like one of the best beats on this fucking album.
I can't remember. That record kind of reminded me of another joint, but I can't remember the name of it. So
the beat definitely gave me Zaytoven vibes.
Mm.
I don't know if it's the piano or something, but yeah, no, that beat is something.
That man said, "Broke ninjas go to Job Corps."
I heard that too.
Yeah,
but it kind of went over my head. But So this is definitely one of the top halves. I fuck with this one.
Yeah, yeah. The singing effort on this one.
I was just about to ask you about that as well.
Yeah, this one, I can co-sign this one.
Tolerate.
Yeah.
I'll allow it.
Yeah, yeah.
I'll allow it. All right, so moving on. 100 Bottles. Big Sean and Crit. Hello. Big Sean and Chris Brown. We can get into this. See, the only issue, not the only issue, but the reason why I can't take this song seriously is what I explained in the beginning is that I heard this song before it was on the Ivy League. It was a Chris Brown song just by himself. So I don't know. Sahi just throwing his ad libs on the chorus, like, oh yeah, Chris Brown, da, da, give it to him, or whatever the fuck he was saying. Like, it just, right. It just didn't feel right. Cause I knew his verse. I didn't know Sahi's verse, and I didn't know Big Sean's verse. But this was Chris Brown's song, like, before either one of them. Like he had two verses, and I think he had a chick on the song.
Yeah.
So I don't know. That beat is, I don't know. Some, I don't know. It's just a lot. That like, I don't know. But like, I guess it's a cool little seat filler club song. I don't know.
Yeah, it's a skip, bro. That is.
Oh, it's a mega skip.
I didn't like that record when I first heard it. I don't like it now. Yeah, just, no, sir. That just,
and I feel like you kind of wasted. Like, I feel like you just kind of wasted a Chris Brown song. Like, you got Chris Brown, you got him doing all that rapping. Well, no, this is when Chris Brown was in his little rap renaissance. I will say that.
Rap renaissance.
Because he was like, it's like 2011. Him and Trey Songz was like trying to like try rapping.
Right.
And they just made so much money that they just felt like they could just do whatever the fuck they wanted.
Not facts.
So, all right, let's see what we got. Lives with Chris Stevens. That name sounds familiar. Who's Chris Stevens?
She was on the Memories back then.
Has she done anything else, or was that the biggest thing she's like been part of?
She had a feature on a Tank record.
White lady, ain't?
Yeah, I think so. I think she might be mixed. I'm not sure though. But
all right, Lives.
Yeah.
Let's see, we got Lives. Tanaka, this song is a perfect example of doing too much can take a great song and make it good.
Right. Right.
Cause I ain't gonna lie, that beginning part made me nervous already.
Right, right.
And then the B drop, and I was like, oh, okay.
Yeah, it's not bad.
It gives me like me like Amsterdam Rick Ross vibe.
Yeah, yeah.
And facts. Then
I'm like, Turner, you can imagine him recording that, just like,
no, that's why you saw it on my face. I'm like, bro, like,
just unnecessary, bro.
Bro, like this was almost a perfect song,
right? And just
that, yeah, is, you just did too much.
Like, why are you trying to interfere with her singing?
Like, bro. Like,
let her sing, bro.
Like, if anything, you should have put like a fucking filter over your like shit. And
something.
Like, I shouldn't have been able to hear you. So lives. Oh my god, bro. He almost had me. Like, this is almost a good song.
I feel you, bro.
Well, no, this is almost a great song. This is an okay song. It's just,
yeah.
Like. For what? Fuck. Where are we at?
The disgust.
Oh, God. Is this Entourage? Is this next?
Yeah.
Entourage? Okay.
Featuring the Good Music Family.
Right. And Omarion. I'm just joking. Sigh.
Sigh. Why are you clearing your throat like that, son?
Because if I didn't, I would have been sounding like, This actually wasn't that bad. See, when they said featuring Hit Boy, I thought it was just like he made the beat, and I didn't know he was actually gonna rap. I ain't gonna lie, he could have did without Hit Boy. Hit Boy was not needed in this song. Wait, did Hit Boy make this beat?
I don't believe so.
He didn't. Oh, he literally just had him for a feature. That's wild. Yeah, he didn't make this beat. Yeah. Elusive Orchestra made this beat.
Yep.
I guess. I don't know. To each his own. It's just funny in my head. I could see him like Entourage.
Yeah.
I don't know. I can see what he. I mean, I ain't gonna lie. His singing was kind of. But like, I can see what he was trying to get at. He was trying to like. Harmonize, entourage. So I get it. he definitely should have had somebody sing that though, for him.
Like if you got the entourage, then where's John Legend?
That is true. Hell, you could have Big Sean sing that.
Where's Teyana Taylor?
I don't think Teyana Taylor was a thing yet.
It's 2012 when they dropped "Cruel Summer."
Yeah, you're right.
But, yeah, I mean, no, it was a cool record. I knew what he was going for. I just feel like that hook, like, it was almost there. And then it just, like, I was like, oh, man.
I'm not going to lie. He gets points for me for that because I ain't going to lie. I thought he was going to take the low route and ain't no valley high. Ain't
oh,
no
yeah,
man.
Yeah.
I thought
yeah,
he was
yeah.
going to do that. Or ain't no mountain high enough. I thought he was going to do that.
Yeah.
So he gets points for not doing that because I was almost sure he was going to.
I just wish that more of the Good Music Posse was on this record. Like you got Hit Boy of all people.
I mean, and I get it. I'm not gonna lie. Now that I know like his situation with Good Music, it kind of makes more sense.
Yeah.
But yeah. I don't know. But it was overall, it's a cool record.
Yeah,
I could definitely.
It's cool vibe. Yeah, it's cool vibe.
All right. So let's see. Changed. Let's see what we got. I'm not gonna lie. I don't know if it's because I'm burnt out from this album. I mean, or project, but
yeah.
It was just kind of more of the same. It just, I don't know. I feel like you had I feel like you talked about this in one of the prior project reviews, where like after a certain amount of song, it's just kind of like,
yeah. I think that was Yeah, I don't know. I always think of like Chris Brown projects, you mm-hmm. know, because like I feel like there's good records on there, but because it's so long, or the records kind of like start to sound similar that the listener eventually gets exhausted by the end of it and is not able to appreciate the record for how good it is because they're just so drained from the previous records they've heard. I enjoyed this record. Like, I, you know what I'm saying? I just feel like this is, I don't know. This is kind of Sahi, I feel like, at his, in his element somewhat, you know, like a soul beat, hip hop, you know what I'm saying? Really rapping. You know, just talking about his life, you know what I'm saying? And, I don't know. Yeah, I enjoyed this record, bro. You know, I don't know though. I can understand where you come from though, because there was a lot of duds, I feel like, you know, before this, you know, and that can definitely wear on you, you know, yeah, after a while.
So that means I need to go back and listen to this.
Yeah.
A separate date. But last but not least, the outro. Let's see what this outro gives us. Ha ha. It was just so abrupt. Why was it so abrupt? Is that how the mixtape ends? Like, for real? Like, it's just...
Yeah.
Is that supposed to, like, get it ready for the kickback? Or, like or did they... Did he just run out of money for the budget or some shit? It was so abrupt.
Very much so. Very much so.
Well, yeah, guys, that was the end of Robbie Lachine.
That's so the start of the tape goes into that.
No, I get that.
Yeah.
I get that.
Okay, yeah.
It was the abrupt ending that kind of like. I thought YouTube was fucking up. Like
you won't let him finish the note or not?
Yeah, like I thought it was YouTube. I was finna complain, like, fuck, bro. Like, the fuck? But okay, I guess not. All right, so on the F scale, Tanaka, what are you giving the Ivy League?
I give it a flat. Yeah. Sahi, as everybody knows, one of my favorite rappers. I just, you know, he's definitely always had issues, though, just making like a record, you know. And just a lot of production on here, I feel like, wasn't quite up to par. But I mean, I also didn't know like what his budget was or what type of connects he was able to work with, you know. And I don't know. I guess I don't know. You see him trying a lot of different things, though. You know, he tried to go for some club stuff. He tried to kind of like the Atlanta sound at the time, you know. So I think he was just having difficulty finding kind of his lane, you know, because he's always had that. I remember with the Royal Flushes, his kind of whole concept for those was to have like the hearts, spades, queens, and clubs. So basically, like, you know, the clubs is like club music. The hearts is like love music. The spades is like gangster music. And what did I say? Damn,
You said club? You said club, hearts, and spades.
What's the last one?
Diamond.
Diamonds. See, I'm over here effing up. I apologize, yo.
What was diamond?
I definitely said queens. And queens is not queens. Not a suit. Not a suit. Yeah, forgive me, y'all. Hearts was love music, spades was the gangster music, clubs was the club music, and diamonds was like the, I think, like the lavish kind of music, like rich talk, you know what I'm saying? So that's how he would always break up his Royal Flush albums, you know. And then, I don't know, I feel like he was always just trying to find like a way to put all of that together, you know what I'm saying, to be like a complete package. And I don't know, this project definitely had potential, but I think the execution on some of the records just wasn't quite there. Yeah, I think it was the production, really. And then some of the, yeah, production and the execution, you know.
Yeah, honestly, yeah, bro, you hit it right on the head. Like, there are some songs on here that he hit it dead on the nail, and most of them he did not. So yeah, on a scale of 1 to 10, I'd probably give it like not a scale of 1 to 10, on the F scale, I'd probably give it like a, would I give it a flat frisbee? Probably like a flat. Yeah, probably like a flat frisbee.
Yeah.
Definitely on the downside.
Which records would you keep off of him?
Oh, that's easy. Ivy League, A-Town, Food Savers and Scissors, Drink Smoke, Feet Up, Can't Stand Y'all. I don't know. 100 bottles is a little shaky. Entourage. You know what? Fuck it. I'll take 100 bottles and Lives. So that's like 9 songs out of 21. No, I won't say 21 because there were 3 interludes. So my brain is shattering right now. What's 21 minus 3?
18.
So 9 out of 18. That still sounds like a failing grade. But
nah, there's 4 skits.
4 skits?
So it's 1, 2, 3. Yeah, 4 skits.
So 4. So 21 minus 4.
17.
So 17. 17
so
out of
50% 9. Then.
So 50%. Well, little, that's not too little, bad. Yeah, so yeah. I give it a flat. I give it a flat.
Let me see. I'd take Ivy League, A-Town, Tool, Bachelor. What's the other one? Lives, Entourage, and Changed.
Word.
1, 2, 3. Hold up, was that 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7? I'd probably take Can't Stand Y'all too. 8.
9, I'll say. Yeah, so that's actually a little over half. But mine was a little over half.
Boom. Dang, did I take more less than yours? Less than you?
Yeah, you did.
I guess I did.
Oh, yeah, because I said 100 bottles and you said you can't stand this.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. No.
I mean, I just like the song from the Chris Brown joint, honestly. So that I feel like.
I mean, yeah, you have a different, relation with that record. Because I don't think I really heard Chris Brown mixtapes like that.
I mean, I'm going to let you hear it. You're not going to like it anymore, honestly. But
yeah. It was the same beat.
It's the same everything.
Oh, okay.
Literally. Like, when I heard it, I was like, when I seen this song, I was like, ain't no fucking way this is that song from Boys in Detention. Sure enough, it was.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But, yeah, man.
Boy, that tomorrow, man. Talk about. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
That percussion was just so. Oh man, turn up, bro. That joint, like those drums were just clunking, bro. like, come on, bro. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, dog. Like, it was just.
Wasn't it,
bro? We trying to catch a vibe, and that is just sticking out like a sore thumb. So you heard me? Like, right. I was like, dang, man. You know what I'm saying?
Hi.
But, who is the producer, bro? Like, man, boy.
Let's find out. Let's find out who we can curse out.
Like that joint.
T-minus.
Was it really?
Damn, and I'm looking at all the shit that he's made.
That's what I'm saying.
Swimming pools, hell yeah, fucking right. The Model, Middle Child, The London, Rich as Fuck. I'm on one. Pretty Little Fears.
Man.
Sweet Baby Jesus. Yeah, but yeah, you get a flat for me. You get a flat. I give him a flat because I got 9 out of 17.
Dang, Canada, how you do it like that, man?
I don't know, bro. But so yeah, appreciate y'all for listening to the project review. If you have a project that you want reviewed, hit up the Instagram page, the.tnt.podcast. And yeah, just go ahead and put your request in there and we'll try to get to it as soon as possible.
Yeah.
Last but not least, we're gonna get into our schedule. So today I'll be at Golden Glide from what time will I be fucking cold and quiet? I don't even know. I'm doing the fucking family session whatever day that, I mean, whatever time that shit is. I gotta look at the calendar again. Shout out to Sparkles Gwinnett. I'll be doing their adult night. And then Tanaka, why are you laughing at me?
Because, bro, this this side project got that man turned on Friday.
If that's what we're going with, sure, we'll go with that.
Man, it's a Friday. It's a Friday, guys.
Boy, what? Twenty-third Cascade. Trying to think. What time is that one? Oh, 3 to 7. That's definitely 3 to 7. And then shout out Gray Jackson. We got the his birthday concert going on at the Smith's Bar. Go ahead and get your tickets.
Smith's Old Bar.
That one. Definitely that one. And then the 6th, back at Sparkles Gwinnett for another adult night. And then Bonfire on the 20th. And and for anything else, just go ahead and check my schedule joint on Instagram. It's all the same shit, so y'all gotta figure that out. Not what we got. Well, man, what do you
turn
got?
It's Friday, got some, man.
Burnt like bacon. Are we finna beat the sun up?
No. What was I gonna say?
We almost there. We got about an hour, yeah.
Yeah. Coming up, I got Sova Sunday, last two Sundays in a month. I got the Hollow Roll Silent Skate Party with T Smooth and my bro DJ, aka DJ Quan, DJ Zylanta. That's gonna be on the 29th. 11:30 to 3 a.m. Saturday night session, adult session. What else we got? I should be at the Glide, I believe, the day before that, the 28th, Friday family session, 7 to 11. I want to say that's it off the top. Yeah, I think that's all I got. Man, to everybody at GECO, I miss y'all folk, just to FYI, you know. it has been forever and a day since I seen y'all, so I hope that you guys are well. But I just want to give also a shout out to the last Soulful Sunday that I did. You know what I'm saying? I don't know if y'all know, but Soulful Sunday was definitely like something that myself, well, who, turn up, you came up with it?
Jamie
came up with it. Shout out to Jamie. That was our old manager at Stone Mountain Skates. And you know, it was just a dope thing that, you know, Turn Up was gonna do, but then it ended up being 2020, built it up, passed it on to me. And I just tried to maintain that, you know, and It was a lot of growth process, you know, and everything like that. But it was definitely near and dear to my heart, just because, like, you know, me and Turnip have had conversations about Soulful Sunday, in which we really want that night to be void of any, you know, trap music, any negative music. We just really wanted something that was like real smooth, soulful. And a night that people could appreciate R&B and even hip hop for real, you know. and so when I got taken off of Soulful Sunday, like, you know, it definitely affected me, because that was something that kind of cleansed me, I felt like, from all the, you know, trap music that we play. You know, it was just, as DJs, we don't ever want to be boxed in and just be stuck playing the same thing over and over. You know, we want to be able to expand and play all this different type of music, you know. And I think, Turnip, you can agree that, you know, Soulful Sunday was a breath of fresh air of some sorts. You know,
facts.
When Turnip will pop in every now and then to do Soulful Sunday, like, you know, it's refreshing for us, you know, to be able to play different type of music. And just appreciate, you know, feel good music, you know, just for like older folks, younger folks, you know what I'm saying? Like, and just to appreciate like all the different decades of R&B. So anyway, shout out to everybody that came to that last Soulful Sunday I did. Y'all showed me a lot of love, and yeah, man, it meant a lot though. You know what I'm saying? Cause I missed that joint, and I appreciate the love for real. So thank y'all, and I look forward to the next two Soulful Sundays that we do. So,
well, y'all, with that being said, that was a TNT Podcast Project Review. We'll see y'all on the flip side with episode 21. And DJ Turnup, DJ Tanaka, TNT Podcast. We out.